So I wanted to thank all of you for making time to be here today. And this reminds me of what elders say, that sometimes when something good is about to happen, this doesn't get unnoticed with forces of adversity. So we had some, what some people call a negative greeting here. Our link disappeared, so Leanne had to create a new link and send it to everybody. So I hope everybody that wanted to be here tonight and was able to tune in, I want to say thank you for this opportunity. My beloved Nina asked me to say a few words. And as I was reflecting upon what I wanted to share tonight, and when everything started coming together, I realized this could serve as a great complement to all the amazing classes that Nina has been teaching through the Legacy of Awareness on really how to navigate these times that are really unprecedented. And if we are to listen to all these prophecies of Native peoples, and in a way bringing science and spirituality together, we find ourselves at the end of a 75,000-year cycle. So in truth, we are here graduating the third dimensional realm and making our preparations to travel to a higher realm. And as I was contemplating where to begin these words that I am going to share with you relatives tonight, I was thinking of, you know, the genuine Native people, how we call them at home, the Earth people, who live according to the old ways. When we meet them, when we come into their presence, we admire their peace, their groundedness, and also a deep knowing of who they are and where and what they belong to. They know intrinsically in the deepest cell of their being, of their bone marrow, they know that they carry the frequency of the land where they come from, where they live, and where their ancestors are buried. Many of these qualities derive from a very rooted virtue of placement in space and time from times immemorial. As real and truthful Earth people, we are the caretakers of this three-dimensional realm. We're not here to dominate. We're not here to take advantage of or to have dominion over. We're here to be the caretakers of this beautiful water planet. If we remember our math years, the three perpendicular axes of X, Y, and Z, they are a reflection of the geometrical realm that we are in. So in an indigenous way, whenever we open sacred space, we firmly anchor ourselves in the center of our being, which becomes, for the time being, the center of the universe and of our universe. And we're connecting through the energy qualities of the center to the sun, which is the center of our galaxy, and then through all the suns, all the way through to the central sun and to the Creator. If any of you have sage or incense, you can light it up at this time. You can breathe it in. You can do some circles around your head and around your body so we can really be here and now and land from wherever our explorations took us today. For some who are on lockdown, it might be from the bedroom to the bathroom to the kitchen to the fridge. That's kind of my route. Or for those of you who are out there serving, we're purifying this space and this moment in time. And as we place ourselves in the center of the sacred circle, which we call Hochoka, we're asking the energies, the grandmas and the grandpas and the spirit helpers who are the guardians of the directions to come in. When we look upon the east, as the sun is rising, we're asking the guardians of that direction to bring in a new day, the creativity, the imagination, the wisdom and the understanding that we need to live for another day of this life in the garden. To the south, when the sun peaks at the zenith up in the sky, we're asking for support and nourishment for our ideas to flourish, for our work to flourish. As the sun goes down to the west, we ask to let go of what we need to let go and transform that we need to transform. And as we go to the north, we ask the spirits of the north to inspire us to seek the most challenging, highest outcome of the day. We're looking down to our Mother Earth, who feeds us with unlimited power and strength, and we give thank you. We look to the above, connecting us to the higher luminous ones, to the ones who came before us, to the ancestors, and to all the gods and goddesses, the kings and the queens of the celestial realms. And as we have oriented ourselves in these six directions, now we turn within, into the center of our beingness, in the middle of the chest, in our spiritual heart. Here, we know that we have arrived at the right place to feel in ourselves the quality of peace and homecoming, the place where we can relate in Aini, which means proper relationship, to all manifested creation and to create a great spirit. So let's look at what unarguably one of the mostly sought after values craved by humanity, especially at this time, is, and that is peace. Peace has been part of the greeting that humans approached with each other in many traditions. In the old Egyptian times, Imhotep was the father of medicine in the old kingdom under King Djoser around 3000 BC. And his name means the one who comes in peace. And everybody who is studying and following the Kemetic studies, the Egyptian studies, they greet each other with that peace. Yeshua was called the Prince of Peace. And from what we know, he would greet the people with peace be upon you. We have Shalom. We have Om Shanti. We have Salam Aleikum in the Arab traditions. When we greet people with peace, the frequency encapsulated in the word peace carries the essence of what peace is. And as we are expressing it through our vocal cords, we're bestowing and blessing anybody around us with this frequency of peace. So today, how many of us can truthfully admit that peace is a state that we find ourselves today? We all crave it, but unless we really understand what peace means, how can we efficiently and diligently find it and embody it? The best definition of the word peace I found is from Brother Ismail Tete from Accra, Ghana, one of the highest mystics that I ever met. And he coined peace as being the identification and free expression of our inner potential. I will repeat, peace is the identification and free expression of our inner potential. Therefore, in order to achieve, maintain, and spread the peace, we have to truly know ourselves. Otherwise, we're just like a tumbleweed blown and shifted upon the surface of the earth by any wind coming from any direction that brings in our hood a new shaman, a new ideology, a new religion, a technology, a cult, a new practice. And we end up never growing roots into the fertile soil of our inherent truth, gift, and purpose for which we have signed up in this existence. Ancient mystery schools had a logo such as Know Thyself, which was inscripted on the frontispiece of the Temple of Apollo in Delphi. However, they got the abbreviated version, our relatives in Teotihuacan had the whole iteration of this. It was, know thyself as God. But we know that there's a definite interest out there in the leading class of the 1%, that the rest of us, the 99%, don't get to partake in this wisdom and understanding. Otherwise, how can you explain that we were born in our lifetime right now with no instruction manual on how to operate this earth suit, the body that we call our home, and how to navigate this earth realm? I bet you none of us born in a non-indigenous family in a westernized so-called civilized world has received any pertinent and truthful guidelines on how to function here. Imagine your job transfers you to a complete new environment on another planet with new people, language, customs, and there's nobody in the welcoming committee to brief you on any logistics. That's how pretty much most of us born these days come in, rarely being able to hold on to our divine inherent flame, gifts, and purpose. As we get surrounded, attacked, and bombarded from every angle possible by the ammunition of a very off-balanced society with its completely failing structures and organs of disempowerment and manipulation for the benefit of the few. If we somehow make it to and through our teenager years, we are left to our own devices to make sense of the cloudy dream that we inherited from our ancestors who have long forgotten how to live and co-create with Creator. But then, by the grace of God, otherwise known as infinite creative love intelligence, again, a term that I borrowed from my elder brother, Ishmael Tete. We begin hearing the faint calling of our soul, longing to extract itself from the rubble of a self-demolishing and imploding external existence. And then the first questions trickle in. Who am I? How did I get here? Why am I here? Where am I going? If we don't ask and eventually receive the answers to these fundamental questions, we are potentially exposed, vulnerable, and subject to anyone imposing their belief system upon us, starting with our family, society, culture, tradition, religion, education, job, or government, and you fill in the blanks. Thus, we are perpetuating the very dream we have come here to change. Knowledge is power. Knowledge of self is power. When we gain this kind of knowledge, we begin to experience true self-empowerment. And by the same token, lack of knowledge is lack of power. The epoch that we live in today is called, in the good book, the apocalypse, the gloom, doom, fire, and brimstone. But when we study deeper the meaning of the Greek word apocalypse, it reveals to us that apocalypse, all it means is lifting of the veil, seeing through the illusion into the truth that has been kept secret from the majority of us for the benefit of the few and for a very, very long time. The indigenous cultures, Mayan, Hopi, Hindu, Zoroastrians, they talk about the end of the world as we know it around this time. In the Native American tradition, throughout the Turtle Continent, the North and the South, traditions talk about the prophecy of the eagle, generally recognized as the medicine of the Northern Turtle Island, and the condor, the medicine of the South, coming together and bringing back the old teachings of how to live in balance with all our relations, culminating with the birth of a new human being who will operate both from the heart and the mind for the benefit of all. In the Lakota way of life, we are the seventh generation. We are these people that we've been waiting for to be born and bring forth this new way of life. They also call it the rainbow people. And when we say rainbow people, it's not running around and marching with rainbow flags. The rainbow represents this, our seven chakras. And a rainbow people are the people who are able to exude the seven frequencies in the seven colors of the seven chakras. That's what we call a self-realized person, a person who knows himself or herself inside out. A famous philosopher by the name of George Santayana said that those who do not learn history are doomed to repeat it. So I found this very interesting short history of medicine that I found very amusing to really exemplify what was just stated. 2000 BC, before Christ, medicine would say, here, eat this root. 1,000 years BC, the directives had changed to, hey, that root is heathen, say this prayer. Fast forward to 1850 AD. Ah, that prayer is superstition, drink this potion. 1940, the potion is snake oil, swallow this pill. 1960, that pill is ineffective. Take this antibiotic. And today we say, that antibiotic is artificial. Here, eat this root. So when we look back in history, where have we as Western society separated from the divine law? We have lost in the West our oral traditions. So we have to rely on some written words. So looking at the written words over the last 2,500 years or so, we are deploring this fact, and yet we had many prophets, teachers, and artists who carry the torch of truth continuously through the darkest periods of our times as a fountain of hope for the thirsty ones to quench the needs of their soul. Plato, who was a contemporary of Hippocrates, who we call the father of medicine, in 400 BC, he was also a product of the Greek Enlightenment, where at least in the written documents, we know that in medicine, they started separating spirituality from medicine. And Plato, I'm quoting him, said the greatest mistake in the treatment of diseases is that there are physicians for the body and physicians for the soul, although the two cannot be separated. In the 6th and 7th book of Moses, it stated, the main object is the health of the soul and the spirit. The health of the body is a secondary matter. If the soul is in a state of health, the body will become healthy as a consequence. Nina's great uncle, his name was Leonardo da Vinci. He said, vitality and beauty are gifts of nature for those who live according to its laws. François Voltaire said that the art of medicine consists of amusing the patient while nature cures the disease. Doctors are men who prescribe medicines of which they know little to cure diseases of which they know less, in human beings of whom they know nothing. And this was written in the 1700s. And I ask you, how true is that today? An even more sobering insight comes from Benjamin Rush, MD. He was a signer of the Declaration of Independence and personal physician to George Washington. And he said, unless we put medical freedom into the Constitution, the time will come when medicine will organize into an undercover dictatorship to restrict the art of healing to one class of men and deny equal privileges to others. The Constitution of the Republic should make a special privilege for medical freedoms as well as religious freedoms. How true is that today when the so-called leaders of our society and whoever their handlers are want to impose mandatory global vaccination? Maybe this pandemic is one of the last warnings for each us, one of us, to really wake up from the slumber of our soul and stand up for the truth if we want our children and grandchildren to inherit a free, loving world rather than a prison planet. When we look at the World Health Organization, America is the 37th healthiest nation in the world. Basically, the American Medical Association team is ranking 37. So when was the last time we took the word of a 37th place team as a gospel? But this is the time of the apocalypse, of the lifting of the veil, of telling the truth and shaming the devil, as they say in the Southern Baptist way. So now that we have established a little bit of a baseline of where we are, we can start building upon the symbiotic information of ancient truths and latest scientific revelation. In order to assume the responsibility that we have in unfolding our individual lives, we must understand the nature of the biology of the human body. So for those of you who had a chance to review the blog, let's continue looking through the first and second level of perception, remembering that the language of the first level is corresponding to the reptilian brain, and that is biochemistry, anatomy, and mechanics. The second level, the mammalian brain, is using words, emotions, and symbols, and our interpretation of them based on past experiences. So I'm going to ask you two questions, and feel free to raise your hand. Number one, how many of you believe that a cancerous growth in the body is because your mother didn't sprinkle enough chemotherapy on your cereal growing up? Number two, any of you has an acute Advil deficiency? If any of you raised your hands, call me because we need to talk. Let's say that we buy into the current medical belief system that we are frail biochemical machines controlled by genes. That belief system is called genetic determinism and is based on two principles: that we are born with a set of genes at birth that we cannot pick ourselves and we cannot change them. So if this would be true, that would mean that if my daddy is lazy, automatically I am lazy and there is no way for me to change that. This creates powerlessness, which in turn creates irresponsibility. Hence, we are giving our power away to the medical industrial complex, who luckily just developed another drug or procedure to help my poor, weak body. To believe the genetic determinism theory would deny the body's very journey of self-creation and conscious self-determination from one cell into a 50 trillion cell organism that we call the human body. This false theory implies that evolution is the result of random genetic mutations due to cosmic radiations. And yes, our current medical approach is based on this principle. But if we become an arduous student of nature, one thing I can tell you for sure is that God doesn't throw dice, if you know what I mean. Nothing happens haphazardly. We are living in a creative, loving, intelligent universe where everything is done by design. Very recent scientific exploration by Dr. Bruce Lipton has demonstrated beyond a reasonable doubt that evolution is based on epigenetic factors. Epi means above. That means that environmental factors and our perception and interpretation of them determine function and behavior, basically determining who we are becoming. And I'm going to repeat that. Our perception and interpretation of anything that happens outside of us determines our function and behavior. If you go to the story of creation, Apparently, life on Earth appeared about 3 billion years and was represented by single-cell organisms living in what scientists call diffuse communities. For a long, long time, they were just single-cell organisms. Apparently, about 700 million years ago, some cells, which scientists called later on smart cells, became aware of themselves and started coalescing, getting together into communities, and realized it's better to live together than to live separate because it ensures higher survivability and longevity. As these communities grew larger, cells who until then were pluripotential, that means they could express all functions on their own, they realized that they don't need to do all of that. And that's how specializations of the cells came into being. So in these communities, the cells who were living on the outskirts became the protectors of the ones living on the inside. And that's what we call skin. Some cells became carriers of essential nutrients from the outside. Some of them became the respiratory system. Some of them became the digestive system. Some said, okay, well, we need to take the trash out. You guys ate, you pooped. We need to take the trash out. That became the excretion system, the elimination system. Eventually, as these organisms became bigger and bigger, there was a need for a system to be created who, like a conductor of an orchestra, is able to coordinate and modulate all functions. And that became the nervous system and the endocrine system. As we go through the development in our mother's womb, we are recreating the creation story all over again. From one cell, from the one to the many, the 50 to 100 trillion cells. The one is in the all, and the all is in the one. So then, what does health really mean? Health is the result of a harmonious integration of the body, the mind, and the spirit, translating into an impeccable communication and coordination among all the 50 trillion sentient beings that we call cell. Health is also the unlimited expression of life. Imagine a huge city, a megalopolis of 50 trillion people coexisting in one common geographic area. Imagine the level of perfection required to ensure a peaceful, healthy, happy, prosperous, balanced, cooperative, interactive, interrelated, and interdependent cohabitation by that many human beings. So what can happen to create sickness in this physical body as we look at it through the first and the second level of perception, through our reptilian and mammalian brain? There's only three causes of disease. The number of diseases invented, we have over 40, 50,000 different types of diagnoses out there in the medical world. But you can reduce them all to what I'm about to tell you right now. And I'm talking about the physical realm. Number one, trauma. Any accidents, any falls, leading to what we call somatic dysfunctions. You dislocate a shoulder. That shoulder becomes weak. The neck starts compensating, and so forth. And then one day you go to the doctor and with the left hip pain, and he gives you a pill. So I ask you, do you know what the definition of a symptom is? Symptom is something that's telling me something about something else. So why in the world do I want to treat the something else? I want to treat the cause. So I'm going to do a proper history and physical exam and treat the shoulder, since that's the cause. But the manifestation in the body could be in the opposite corner. Number two, inadequate nutrition. At least in the United States, most of our food supply is deficient in nutrients. And this we know since the 30s, when a congressional hearing was made. A broccoli has barely enough nutrients to make it look like a broccoli, but it doesn't carry the same nutritional value as the broccoli from 100 years ago. If any of you had a chance to eat wild growing food from a place that has not been tamed by unaware two-leggeds, and I had the opportunity to do that, I probably eat a third of what I would normally eat from the most organic farmers market I can find stuff. Number three, accumulation of toxicity in terms of the waste of normal cellular and microbiome function. Because something else that we found out, that we're not just living by ourselves in our body. We have up to 20 to 1 what's called non-human DNA. Those are microorganisms who live a symbiotic relationship with us. Only in the gut we have probably 7 pounds of bacteria. So they eat and they poop. But then we also have pathogenic microorganisms in our body. And we also have environmental toxicity, especially if we live in a so-called civilized country, where we use herbicides and pesticides and fertilizers and anything you can think of to kill everything else besides what we're growing. We have VOCs that we use in painting. We have aluminum and nanoparticulates being sprayed on us from the air. We have mercury from amalgam fillings and vaccines. We have electromagnetic radiation toxicity from our 4G and the incoming 5G, Wi-Fi everywhere in the city for the convenience of downloading a movie faster. We have it in our offices. We have it in the trains, in the airplane, and at home. And we're becoming part of a smart grid with smart meters, smart TV, and all that. Although there is more than enough science to show the detrimental effects of this technology on the human body. So there's no wonder why we're sick today, because we have stepped away from Creator's law. Something else that we never learned in medical school is that one single cell operates in two mutually exclusive modes. What does that mean? That one cell cannot exist in both modes at the same time. It's either in a sympathetic drive, which means fight, flight, freeze or fainting, or in a parasympathetic state, which is love, growth, regeneration, and healing. The first mode, the fight or flight, freeze or faint, is a fear mode, where if you remember the medieval castles, they lift their gates up at night. They close it. They don't want anything from the outside. This is how a cell operates in the human body when it's under stress. And this is an intrinsically built mechanism. We have this mechanism way, way back during our evolution. This mechanism saved us from the saber-toothed tiger that was waiting at the entrance of the cave, wanting to make us their next meal. So let's generalize this to the organ and tissue level. What happens when an organ, a system, or when the whole body is at a state of fear, which is what the media is trying to do to us with this breaking news? Our blood, by design, by physiologic ancestral design, is moving from our gut, which is are the organs of love, growth, and regeneration, and also the seat of a big part of our immune system. It's moving away. I don't need to digest my last croissant from this morning if I'm faced with an accident right now. I move my blood from the gut into my muscles and the bones, because the muscles and the bones are going to be the ones who are going to help me if I decide to fight or get the hell out of Dodge. By the same token, blood is moving away from the immune system, which is a huge consumer of energy. So when we're in a state of fear, we have less capacity to protect ourselves from, you name it, all the toxicities I told you about. And if that wouldn't be enough damage, the blood is moving from the human brain, the third level of perception, the neocortex. It's moving into the paleocortex, into the mammalian brain, and into the reptilian brain. Why? Because the human brain operates at 4,000 bits of information per second. That's slow compared to 40 or 400 billion bits of information per second. If I'm faced with an imminent danger of an imminent accident, a car hitting a car, I don't want to have to think, well, let me take my right foot off the pedal, acceleration pedal, and move it onto the brake. No, I want to act instantly. And that's why we have a subconscious mind. That's why we have a mammalian brain to do that. But if we're constantly kept in fear, we are constantly operating physiologically with digestive problems, immune system problems, tension, aches and pains in the musculoskeletal system, muscles and bones. We're constantly on the edge, ready to react, tooth for a tooth, eye for an eye, and with considerably less IQ. So what determines if our system goes in the stress mode or into the relaxed mode? It's not Fox News or CNN. It's the perception and interpretation of the stimuli that comes from the outside. Why is that important? Because if we look at the times that we live in, especially today, through the eyes of the reptilian brain or the mammalian brain, that's what we're going to manifest in our body. Fear, stress, contraction, digestive problems, immune system problems, reactivity, and considerably less intelligence and emotional intelligence. Our body is capable of producing over 700,000 different chemicals in the perfect proportions and at the exact moment when they're needed. These chemicals facilitate our body's second-by-second adaptation to the constant environmental changes happening in the microcosm inside of our body and the macrocosm outside of our body. In truth, our body is the best drug producing company and laboratory that there is. Upon demand, we will create our own antidepressants, anti-cancer, antibiotics, pain relief medication, and you name it. No prescription needed. literally with no side effects, covered by the divine insurance, in the precise dose and concentration, and administered exactly where it's needed for as long as it's needed. And again, with no side effects. So if you're telling me that your doctor, after a rather superficial encounter with you, can prescribe the exact needed medication in the precise amount and delivered specifically where it's needed, then again, we need to talk. Because in truth, our human brain doesn't have the capacity to even comprehend this vast biochemical array of interreactions and coming back to our perception and interpretation of the environment we live in will direct our body to produce the appropriate biochemical response. Our intentions, thoughts, feelings, and how we choose to act upon themselves are literally, which means biochemically, determining the life we are manifesting. And I ask you, have you ever fallen in love? Get in touch with that feeling and really feel your body. How does your body feel when you're in love? Let's look at the opposite. Have you ever been upset? How does that body feel? This is a biochemical response to how we perceive and interpret the stimuli from the outside. The human body is the most advanced self-repairing mechanism on earth. And Yeshe Donden, who is a Tibetan doctor and he is the personal physician to the Dalai Lama, he defined health as the proper relationship between microcosm, which is the human body, and the macrocosm, which is the universe. Disease is a disruption of this relationship. And this is what the native people have taught us too. When we come out of Aini, out of proper relationship between the inside world contained within the skin, this earth suit, and the outside world, disease comes. So we spend a lot of time on the first and second level of perception. Let's talk about that third level of perception, which is the human brain, the neocortex. This is the brain that differentiates us from all our mammalian relatives. This is where our soul engages upon the mythical journey when we embody one or the other archetypes, the healer, the warrior, the king, the sage, the lover. It is at this level when we see the disruption that we have created on Mother Earth. That's when we feel called to a cause such as, let's recycle plastic, let's clean the oceans. Or we can go to the fourth level of perception, the level of spirit, the one, when we say, why should we use plastic at all? Today we are literally at the biggest crossroads in our evolution as consciousness in this realm. And the road that we will take will determine the fate of us as individual human beings, as well as the fate of all the ones who are coming after us. including the fate of all the relatives in this realm. And when we speak from a Native perspective, we don't just mean blood relatives or second cousins. We really mean every form through which Creator manifests herself in this realm, starting with the blade of grass, with the standing nation, the tree people, the rock nation, the four-leggeds, the winged ones up in the sky, the creepy crawlers, the ones who swim, the ones who came before us, and the ones who are coming after us, the little people, the big people. Morpheus, the ones who don't know Morpheus, he's in the Matrix. Each one of us is sitting in front of Morpheus right now. And he is offering the same pills he offered to Neo. We have a red pill or a blue pill to choose from. If we take the blue pill, we go back to the known, back to the second and first brain, the mammalian and reptilian brain, Groundhog Day, business as usual. Do the same thing and maybe expect a different result. Thereby we define utopia. Or we take the red pill. The red pill that's taking us to an evolutionary leap where the only thing guaranteed is the truth and the unknown. But are we ready for the truth? Are we really ready and willing to go through all the aspects of our existence mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, and literally not leave any stone unturned, and heal, apologize, forgive, give thanks, let go, love, and move on? But instead of Morpheus, it's virus COVID-19. It's not a bacteria or a parasite. It's a virus. Most research I read, most likely, it's a man-made entity with an agenda behind it. But we're not going to go down that rabbit hole. Let's look at the metaphor that the virus is telling us. What's the story that this virus is revealing to us? Well, let's look how the virus operates in this realm. A virus penetrates our cell and then injects its genetic material into our genes, and then it starts replicating, meaning it's making lots more copies of itself, and that's how it spreads. And yet we know that this will happen only in the body that is not fully healthy. Apparently, 80% of the people that will contact it will have no or very little symptoms. The ones who are going to get affected by it are the ones who have various levels of what we call dis-ease associated with maybe an immunocompromised system. We need to remember that disease is not part of the blueprint of nature. Disease is not part of nature's design. We get diseased when we step away from the original blueprint. Nature carries the blueprint of health and always strives towards it. So now that we got familiar with this third level of perception, we can ask ourselves, where have I not been good to myself? Where have I stepped out of I-ni, out of that proper relationship within and with everything around me? Where has my walk in life affected other beings who have the same right under the sun as me to be happy and healthy? Am I infecting or positively affecting my environment? And when I say that, I don't just mean our deeds, but our walk in life when no one is watching, our thoughts, our emotions, that we are constantly broadcasting in the ethers. The truth is that we're not yet ready to live in what they call a thought consciousness reflected reality. Because that's a reality where everything we think materializes instantly. But yet, in the old stories, in the oral tradition of the native people, this is what they call the primal language. And only few people were allowed to be privy to this language because of the responsibility it carried with it. Because when you speak it, it is so, and so it is, and it becomes what you name it and what you call it. This is where we come from, and this is where we are today. But this is what we can go back to if we make the right choices. So relatives, we have the opportunity of a lifetime and of many lifetimes to take a break from our merry-go-around way of life in order to do a panoramic life review of ourselves and look where we come from and where we're going to. Look, where have I been expressing through my unhealed wounds and patterns the mechanism of a virus in my life, in my relationship with the divine, or my beloved, or my family, or my relatives? Where have I penetrated and perpetrated their envelope and become a predator to only satisfy my own selfish needs? Let me put that into simpler words. How many of the things that I do is to please my outside environment so I can get what I want? That's a virus. So now let's analyze the belief systems in ending. Let's analyze the belief systems and the story of our Western culture that most of us were born into and see what we have inherited from our genetic lineage and society, and subsequently, most of the time expressed automatically, unconsciously, through our own life. And then we're going to look at the indigenous story and see which story are we gonna follow in our life. The Western society claims that the world was made for men, therefore it belongs to us and we can do whatever we want with it. Just travel outside of the city, and when we come to some beautiful natural preservation, they call it land of many uses. This is how distorted our mind is. In order to rule nature, we have to conquer it. And what's the banner that we're flying? It's called Manifest Destiny. We're waging war. We're exterminating competition. We deny the competitors access to food, and we destroy the competitors' food to make room for our own. Simply put, we're cutting down the Amazon for oil companies and agriculture. We're killing a big chunk of our mother's lung, where so many amazing medicines come from and millions of native people live, so we can grow some cows and soy. So how does a society operate based on this story? It's called infinite growth. Well, let me translate infinite growth. Infinite growth is cancer. What is a cancer? A cancer is a little part of the whole who decided not to listen to the whole anymore and do their own thing. That's what a cancer is. In this type of a society, we're doing whatever works well for increasing production and profit, and we support the expansion of a single species or races. It's us versus them. What's that? That's a mammalian brain. That's a second level of perception. A human being that is bred by a society like this becomes competitive, egotistical, and an individualist. The Western society is characterized by the I, me, and mine. I speak a few different languages, but only in English the word I is written with capital I. In no other languages the I is capitalized. We have brought the I to a perfection in this country. I, me, and mine. The iPod, iPad, I, and you fill in the dots. Now let's look at the indigenous culture story. Going back to the beginning where we said how amazing true indigenous people are, because they have peace, they know where they belong to, they know who they are, where they come from, and where they're going. Why? Because they're just following a different program. It's a different cultural story. That's a lot closer to God's law, to Creator's law, to the original prime directives of who we are and what we're here to do. So what does that say? A man belongs to the world. And in order to live here, we need to understand the very processes of life that we are part of and follow the laws of nature. Rather than being a war society, it's called a peacekeeping law. And this peacekeeping law stated that you eat what you kill. You never take more than you need. You survive better in a habitat, not by denuding it, but by making it better. When you take one's life, you become responsible for the continuation of their species. A society like this promotes diversity. And it does whatever works well for the people, for everybody. That's how health is kept in the big organism of what we call Mother Earth, of which we're just a little cell of. A human being that grows in this type of society grows with love, companionship, acceptance, and they are seen for who they are. And a community nurtures the expression of the uniqueness of each of its members. The divine has given us this time. I know the government calls it mandatory, but it's even more mandatory from the divine to take advantage of it in order to prepare ourselves and be ready for the next evolutionary leap in our consciousness. In order to fully graduate this realm, we have to go through this process of expressing that which is inside of us, our divine gifts, purpose, and mission of life. We have to experiment it. We have to feel it through all our senses. Everything that we express and see how it affects everything and everybody around us. The next phase, the third phase, is that of integration, where we're putting it all together when we realize the purpose of it all. And how everything we ever did starts making sense because it helped us become us who we are today. And then the last step of this process is transcendence, when we realize that none of it belongs to me and that I need to let go of it in order to re-become pure, like a called tabula rasa, which means a clean slate, so that we can enter the upgraded evolutionary realm of our consciousness. From an indigenous perspective and that mythical journey of the soul, this is a vision quest and a rite of passage that we each have the opportunity to undergo. And I pray that we can all complete the assignments of this evolutionary step in the growing process of our consciousness and judiciously use this time given to us by the divine in order to smoothly ascend in the next phase of our beingness through the alchemical process of an immaculate transmutation and transubstantiation. Thank you, relatives. Back to you, Leanne.
Thank you so much, Dr. Tudor. That was so beautifully said, and really thank you for taking this time to share this powerful wisdom with our community this evening and really bringing us the peace and the truth as we navigate through this apocalypse.
And thank you, Leanne.
And for those who don't know, Dr. Tudor is the co-founder of the New Earth Movement and leader of our community. And from all of us, we are really grateful to have you here tonight and praying that we can all really take that red pill as we go forward in these times.
Thank you, and may we all go in peace. Aho. Uh-huh.